This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina wa Habibina Rasulillahi ta'ala wa ba'd. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما سبحانك اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه وبعد الحمد لله we praise Allah سبحانه وتعالى our Lord and our Creator for blessing us for granting us the tawfiq to be here today in the company of pious righteous individuals Great ulama. We have a very blessed gathering remembering the great messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also it's a fundraiser for the Ribat Institute. This reminds me of a verse of the Quran, and we don't have too much time, just briefly. And it's just a reminder for myself and for all of you. A very important verse in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the objectives of sending the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this world. Allah says, "Huwa alladhi ba'atha fil ummiyina rasulan min anfusihim yatlu alayhim ayatihi wa yuzakkihim wa yu'allimuhum al-kitaba wal hikmata wa in kanu min qablu lafi dhalalin mubin." This verse has come many times in the Quran with slight variations and changes in the tartib or the order. But basically Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning the objectives of sending the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there are basically four objectives why Allah sent the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to this world. بَعَثَ فِي الْأُمِّيِّينَ رَسُولًا مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ. One of the main objectives is that he teaches the book, the Quran. He recites the book of Allah. So one of the primary objectives of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam coming to this world is to teach the book of Allah. And everything related to the book of Allah, the teaching and the studying of the book of Allah. And the other objective is يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمُ الْكِتَابِ, which is the recitation of the book of Allah, وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ, which is teaching it. So the meanings and the explanation and the commentary and the lessons that we can derive from the book of Allah. And وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْحِكْمَةِ, which is teaching wisdom, which is sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And lastly is وَيُزَكِّيهِمُ, which is to purify the souls and the hearts of the humans. So these are the four basic objectives of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sending the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam to this world, to us. So what we take from this verse is that we have to really change our lives in terms of these four areas, concentrate on these four areas. We have any endeavor or any institute that promotes any of these four objectives, they are actually doing a really good job, and we should support them in any way, shape, and form we can. Ta'aleem of the book of Allah, teaching children the book of Allah, the recitation of it, tajweed of the Qur'an, a very important objective. Teaching the meanings of the Qur'an, learning of the Arabic language, a very important objective. And we really need to support, in one of the hadith, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he said, "Ad-deenu an-nasiha," religion is sincerity lillahi wa li rasulihi wa li kitabihi. Sincerity towards the book of Allah is to teach it, to study it, to contribute to anything that promotes the teaching of the book of Allah, the reading of the book of Allah. So we really need to really take it upon ourselves as a important responsibility to promote the teaching of the book of Allah within our families, within our children, send our children to these institutions. And in any way, shape, or form, we can support organizations and institutes like the Ribat Institute, which you have in your community, and you should really value it. It's a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have these kind of institutes in our communities. Some areas, some communities, they are blessed with numerous institutes. But some areas are not blessed with many institutes, and we really need to give everything that we have, physically, financially, in terms of supporting these institutes and these organizations. And then the objective also of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is yuzakkihim, to purify the souls of the humans, the Muslims, the believers, to spiritually purify them. This is an objective that we really need to take on as well. We need to work on our hearts. We see the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I mean, we are remembering the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam through the qasaid, through the anashid, and there are many things that are mentioned in these in the poetry, when we look at the character of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this aspect of him being spiritually purified by Allah really manifests itself. And this is a very important area that we need to focus on with ourselves. And we need to do it with sincerity. We need to work on our hearts. This was the objective of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam coming into this life, where he taught the companions and through the companions to the tabi'un all the way till this day and age, where Muslims have been ordered and encouraged. And this is in the Quran. Allah says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ ذَكَّرَهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّرَهَا. The one who purified his soul has gained, attained success and salvation. The one who has not purified the soul is indeed in a loss. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعْ عَمَالُ وَلَا بَلُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Only that person will be of any benefit. Nothing will benefit on the Day of Judgment except the one who comes to Allah with a sound heart. And the hadith also tells us, أَلَا إِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ مُدْغَةٌ إِذَا صَلُحَ صَلُحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ أَلَا وَهِيَ الْقَلْبُ. One part in the body, if that's sound, everything's sound. We can talk about this, brothers and sisters, but sometimes we talk about this more than we actually implement it. You know, sometimes we talk about it more than we actually implement it in our life. It's easy to sometimes talk about it, but it's difficult to implement it and act upon it and really work on our hearts. عَلَيْكَ بِالْرُوحِ, the poet says, عَلَيْكَ بِالْرُوحِ فَاسْتَكْمِلْ فَضَائِلَهَا فَإِنَّكَ بِالْرُوحِ لَا بِالْجَسَدِ إِنسَانُ. Take it as a responsibility to nourish your soul. It's up to you to nourish your soul, to spiritually purify, to remove every single spiritual disease of hatred, of enmity, of jealousy, of love of dunya, and greed, and all these spiritual diseases, pride. Shaykh Yahya was talking about, you know, wanting one's own space, fame, pride. These things are highly important. And it's with sincerity that we work on these things. When we look at the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, look at his life. We can read about his shama'il, it's full. There are subtle things in his shama'il that indicate how spiritually purified he was. Subtle things, like, for example, a companion says, Jadir bin Abdullah al-Bajali radiyallahu anhu, ما حجبني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم منذ أسلمت ولا رأني إلا تبسم في وجهي. Never did the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam place a barrier between myself and himself except that he would see me. And never did he see me except he would smile in my face. There's actually chapters written in the books of Shama'il, in Wasa'il al-Wusul and many other books, chapters about the dhihk, Shama'il of Imam al-Tirmidhi, about the tabassum, the smile of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He would constantly smile. Now this smiling is not an artificial, you know, business smile. This is not a business smile that you want to sell a product. And it's not to show off to anybody. This is genuinely from the heart. Because sometimes when the going gets tough, he is smiling. Sometimes we can smile, we can all smile when everything's nice and, you know, easy. But when the going gets tough, when someone swears at you, when someone slanders, when there's problems in the community, when people are not dealing with you in a good way. Salatul Rahim, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually considered Salatul Rahim, which is maintaining ties. It's only when anyone can be good to others. He said, لَيْسَ الْوَاصِلُ بِالْمُكَافِرِ. If someone's good to you and you are in return good with them, that's no big deal. He said, إِنَّمَا الْوَاصِلُ أَلَّذِي إِذَا قُتِيَتْ رَحِيمُهُ وَصَلَهَا. The real maintainer of ties is the one when people cut you off, you maintain ties. This is a real test. الْإِنسَانُ مَخْبُوٌ تَحْتَ لِسَانِهِ. A human is hidden under his tongue. When everything's nice and easy, we are all very courteous, cordial, we are very gentle, we are very polite. But when the thing gets difficult, when things are tough, that's the real test. And this is when we see the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is sworn at, he is slandered by the disbelievers. لم يكن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فاحشا ولا متفحشا ولا لعانا ولا سخابا في الأسواق. He was never foul-mouthed. Never swore, never slandered. These are the basic qualities because of the purification of the heart. No jealousy, no hatred, no enmity, no pride, no arrogance. Tawadu, humbleness and humility to the extreme level. To the extreme level. Not thinking about his own self. He would smile. There are numerous hadith. Aisha radiallahu anha, she says, somebody asked her, مَا كَانَ كَيْفَ كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي بَيْتِهِ. How was the Messenger of Allah صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ in his house? She said, كَانَ أَلْيَنَ النَّاسِ, the most softest of individuals. Alyan has been mentioned for the people of Yemen as well in the hadith. أَلْيَنَ قُلُوبًا أَرَقُ أَفْئِدَةً. Very tender of hearts. And then she said, بَسَّامًا بَحَّاكًا. He was always smiling. He was always, you know, laughing. And there's actually a lot of discussion on about the dhihk and the tabassum. Most of the times, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam would only smile. On a few rare occasions, it's also reported that he would laugh, that you could see his teeth. There's some other narrations of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, كَانَ دَائِمَ الْفِكْرُ مُتَوَاصِلَ الْأَحْزَانِ. He was always concerned, and you could see his sad. The ulama have actually reconciled between these hadiths, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, internally he was always concerned about the ummah. He always had this fikr, this concern about the ummah. And we know in the next life, on the Day of Judgment, when people will go to Musa and Isa and all the different prophets, everybody will say, Nafsi, Nafsi. They'll come to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he'll be concerned about his ummah. He will say, Ummati. He's concerned he was concerned about us, he's still concerned about us right now, and he will be concerned for us on the Day of Judgment as well. So he had this constant concern in the heart, yet he would not let the people around him know about his concern, and he would be smiling to make people feel comfortable. Sometimes when we are depressed, we make everybody depressed. We want everybody to share our depression. This is actually a very important responsibility, that if you have a concern inside yourself, you try not to bring that out in other people. He would make people feel loved. He would make people feel important. Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu, he says that I asked the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I mean, when he would speak to people, even the, you know, the enemies or the people who are opposing him, even with them, he would give them full attention and love, and he would show affection towards them. And then he said he would make every individual as though he is the most important to him. And he said, I asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who's the most beloved to you? I thought he would say me. He said, Abu Bakr. Then he said, Thumma man, who's the most beloved to you after him? He said, Umar. He said, I thought he would say me, but he said, Umar. Then I said, I thought to myself, it's definitely going to be me now. Then who? Then he said, Uthman. He said, I just stopped there because I didn't want to get much more disappointed. Because he actually really felt that he was the most beloved and the closest to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But that he was doing that with every companion. There were no barriers. He was one of them. He would, like one of the non-Muslims, he came out and asked the Sahaba, they were all sitting there, and asked, Man minkum Muhammad? Who is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam amongst you? One of them said, this person here, هذا رجل الأبيض المتكي. This one in fair complexion sitting there leaning against the wall, that's Muhammad. He was quite shocked and amazed of the fact that the leader of the Muslims is someone who's just amongst them. There's no throne, there's no, you know, prominent seat. These were the basic qualities of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Unfortunately, we see in our times, we want to be like the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we talk about it, but sometimes these basic qualities and attributes of tazkiyatul qalb, jealousy, hatred, enmity, competition, these things really, really pull us down. And I'll end with one hadith, which is in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, when once the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sat with his companions radiallahu anhum, and he said, they were sitting in the masjid, he said, يَطْلُعُ الْآنَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَجُلٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. Soon a man to attend and appear on you is going to be a man of Jannah. The Sahaba looked, it was Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. The next day the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sat again with the companions. He said, يَطْلُعُ الْآنَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَجُلٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. The man soon to enter the room is a man of paradise and Jannah. They looked again, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. Third day again, he said, يَطْلُعُ الْآنَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَجُلٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. They looked again, it was Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. Another companion, he said, radiallahu anhu, I believe it was Amr ibn al-As. Another companion, radiallahu anhu, he said, after 3 days, I followed this sahabi. And I said to him that, you know what, I have some issues at home. Is it possible I can stay at your house for 3 days? And the reason was that I wanted to know and find out for myself, what was he doing in the midst of his home, in the privacy of his home, that has made him a man of Jannah? What are those great acts of ibadah and worship that he's doing? He said, for 3 days I stayed there, I saw him doing nothing. He wouldn't even offer qiyamu layla and tahajjud. That doesn't mean we should definitely, but at that time maybe he wasn't. But there was nothing super magnificent that he was doing. There was nothing that really stood out. The only thing he said, that the only fact was that in the middle of the night maybe he would wake up and stretch his arms and make a bit of dhikr and go back to sleep. Nothing that really stood out. After 3 days, I couldn't resist. I asked him, he said, there's something about you. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam considered you a man of Jannah. Considered you a man of Jannah. He said, look, ma huwa illa ma ra'it. Whatever you see, there's nothing, I don't really do. But he said, غَيْرَ أَنِّي Except the fact, أَنِّي لَأَجِدُ فِي نَفْسِي غِشًّا لِأَحَدٍ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ That I do not have no animosity or hatred towards any Muslim. In another riwayah of the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, he says, أَخَذُوا مَضْجَعِي وَلَيْسَ فِي قَلْبِي غِمْرٌ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ Every night I take my bed, I go to sleep, I sleep in a state that I have no resentment or any animosity towards any human. This is what makes a man of Jannah. And this is what we need to follow. This is what we need to bring into our lives. I know when we live in families, with relatives, with Muslims, with communities, with people around us, and there's always cases where we're going to have differences. But this is the test. And this is what we call tazkiyah. This is the test. So we need to, inshallah, I'm going to end with this, but really I'm honored that Sayyidi Shaykh Faiz invited me to come, and it was long overdue that I visited this place. It's the first time actually ever, I've been born in this country, it's the first time ever I actually come to Woking. Shaykh Yahya came to Woking before me, subhanAllah. So, but inshallah, really support the Ribat Institute. It's a must that we support in any way, shape or form. Financially, morally, in spirit, send your children, education. يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمِنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ It's an elevation. Allah elevates the people of ilm and knowledge. قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ خَيْرُكُمْ مِنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَ The best amongst you are the ones who teach the book of Allah and the ones who teach it and the ones who study it. This is our life. And then inshallah with this we'll see a change in the community. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant me and all of us the tawfiq to inshallah following the footsteps of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah give us ta'aleem. May Allah give us tazkiyah of our hearts inshallah. And with this, barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.